Our first scripture reading today is a responsive reading of Psalm 72, found on page 795, and we'll continue over to 796. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness, and your poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people, and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound until the moon be no more. May he have dominion from the sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May his foes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the king of Tarshish and of the isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. For oppression and violence he redeems her life, and precious is her blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made to him continually, and blessings invoked for him all the day. May there be abundance of grain in the land. May it wave at the tops of the mountains. May its fruit be like Lebanon. And may they blossom forth in the city like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May people bless themselves for him, all nations call him blessed. The word of God for the people of God.
Our second reading comes also from the Hebrew Bible, from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 6. You can follow along, and I hope you will, by looking in your pew Bible on page 649 in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. Hear these words. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you, the wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson today comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. It can be found on page 181 in the New Testament in your pew Bibles. Hear these words. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. I am former generations. This mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. The word of God for the people of God.
Let us turn now to that story which has been so well displayed to us in song. We turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. It's amazing to me as you hear this story how our perhaps modern understanding of the Christmas story has conflated many stories into one. The first Noel that we sang had the same star leading the shepherds as it led the wise men, and that likely was not the case. It certainly is not the case if you pay attention to Scripture. So let us look at Matthew. You can find this story on page 1 of your New Testament in your pew Bible. So hear these words. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I have to admit to you, it is one of the oldest techniques in the book to start out a sermon or a speech with a dictionary definition. But that's because, frankly, it's an effective way to get people thinking and beginning to make connections. It's a good technique today, especially because we have some differing understandings about this word epiphany. So it turns out if you go to dictionary.com, you find these two definitions of this fascinating word, epiphany. First, if you find it with a capital E, Epiphany, that is a Christian festival observed on January 6th, commemorating the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles in the person of the Magi. So, capital E, Epiphany, the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles in the person of the Magi. But it also means a sudden intuitive perception of or insight into the reality or essential meaning of something, usually initiated by some simple, homely, or commonplace occurrence or experience. Now, this definition is the aha moment, when something is out of the blue, becomes clear. So both of those are the meaning of the word epiphany. So there you have it. At face value, capital E, Epiphany, is the story of the Magi, the wise men, we three kings, as described in that gospel lesson from Matthew and as in that beautiful song. It's that story that many of us first heard as kids in Sunday school, and that story which is portrayed on so many Christmas cards and in nearly every creche display you've ever seen, including ours here in the sanctuary. It has the shepherds and the wise men all in one place together. But Epiphany is a deeper story because it connects us to this amazing occurrence in history, to the people of the first century churches of Paul, and to our own experiences in early January of the year 2011. So let's look at Epiphany together. When you think about this Christmas story, we often see it in terms of the events that occurred. These three astrologers, these magi, these wise men, discovered a brand new and very bright star in the sky, because that's what they did. They were astrologers. They followed this star to Jerusalem and then on to Bethlehem, where they found Mary and Jesus, this newborn king of the Jews. It's a fascinating story when you look deeper. Many theologians believe that these wise men may have shown up as much as 1 year after the birth of Jesus, but that doesn't concern us today. These visitors from far away offered gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts fitting for a king, their Messiah. Now, for the church, the meaning of this story is that God chose to manifest God's self in the person of Jesus Christ, seemingly a regular baby boy, to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. Now, if you think about that word Gentile, at the time, in first century Jerusalem, Gentile meant everybody who wasn't Jewish. You were either Jewish or you were Gentile. So what this Christmas star and these three wise men were saying was that God was now showing Jesus to everybody in the world. We find kind of a similar message in the epistle lesson from Paul. Now, although there is some dispute about the authorship of Ephesians, we can think of this letter at face value just as we did the gospel lesson. Paul was writing a letter from prison to the people of the house churches in Ephesus, telling them about the purpose of his ministry. In Ephesians 3, 5, and 6, Paul says, "In former generations, this mystery of Christ was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." Now here, Paul was affirming that the salvation of story of Jesus was meant for all people. He goes on to explain further. "Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in Christ." Paul talks about the mystery hidden for ages in God and God's eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. Now, in essence, Paul was saying that this mystery was now revealed, that through faith in Jesus Christ, all people can have direct access to God. No middleman needed. We can have direct access to God. Now, all of this reminds me of an expression that you may have heard. Have you ever heard it said that an object or a truth is hidden in plain sight? Something is hidden in plain sight. Well, this Christmas star appeared in the sky and was surely visible to at least half of the entire planet. But only three Gentile astrologers from far away even noticed this star, and then even cared enough to follow the star to find out what it really meant. A baby boy was born. Now, that was a common enough miracle that's occurred billions of times in the history of the human species. But this baby boy was none other than God Almighty incarnate. This was Emmanuel, God with us. Now, this understanding begins to get us in touch with that other definition of the word epiphany, a sudden intuitive perception of or insight into the reality or essential meaning of something, usually initiated by a simple occurrence or experience. This is the aha moment when out of the blue something makes absolute sense. A little baby boy was born in a backwoods town without much fanfare, and the world would never again be the same. With the coming of the new year, did any of you make New Year's resolutions for your life? A few of you did? Okay. It seems that there are at least two schools of thought, two ways of looking at it when it comes to making New Year's resolutions. Some people have tried over the years to make and stick to resolutions, but they failed. And so they simply dismiss the notion of setting resolutions and trying to be better next year. Other people have grandiose ideas and dreams, and they make gigantic resolutions that are probably unrealistic, and they often fail anyway. Well, what would it be like if you were to recognize that with God, all things are possible? If you were to make up your mind to be transformed in some way in the new year, and then you were to resolve to work with God's help in the Holy Spirit to follow Jesus more closely and simply see how things work out, how would that be? Well, my prayer for all of you, my brothers and sisters, is that you will have an epiphany on epiphany. That because of the birth of this one particular baby boy, your world will never again be the same. How is your life different today than it was before Christmas? How will your life be different in 2011 than it was in 2010? How will your life be different because of Jesus Christ? The answers are yours to discover. Amen.